Welcome and thank you for tuning into Crossroads Church Aspen and our teaching ministry. We are thrilled that you desire to learn more about God and His Word. We also want to encourage you not to make this a substitute for belonging to a local church in your area. We are made for community and to be relationally connected to each other in the body of Christ. Remember, isolation kills, but community builds. We hope this message blesses you and draws you deeper into the community of Christ Church. But kind of funny. How's everybody doing? Yeah? Good Thanksgiving? Wonderful. How many were away for Thanksgiving? Okay, yeah, a lot of us. Yeah, we had a great time. We're always down in Texas with our family, and you know, as the kids are spreading out and getting jobs, school and in school, it's such a blessing to kind of have a couple days right all together, which is wonderful. And it was great being with Sandbox. Obviously, hope you enjoy Brent being here. I was with obviously the Sandbox, call them the Sandboxers, that Sandbox Church in Houston, which was just always a wonderful time with that group down there. But it's wonderful and always wonderful to be back. This morning, before I get in, let me just say something. We're going to tag this more after the first year when we kind of dive into our new series after the first of the year. But I just want to throw this out. I want it to simmer. This is something we've been thinking about as we've been restructuring and thinking, you know, about what's the best way to do church? What do we, you know, just evaluate everything, right? And look at the scriptures, obviously. So one of the things that we want to throw out just to get some feedback and thought on this is to turn, you know, you speak of this place, most people still speak of this place as the sanctuary, right? When you go to church, you meet in the sanctuary, right? Because, and that word's a powerful word, a sanctuary in your mind should be a restful, peaceful place. It should be a place where man meets God, right? Where the presence of God is with us and we have communion with God. And so we want to, in establishing that in here, right, just one little thing to think about is our encouragement is to speak, if you don't have a paper Bible, pray about getting a paper Bible and a paper journal. What we'd like to propose is that this is a noise-free zone. Is that for an hour and a half when we are worshiping in this sanctuary, is that it's a place without the cell phone, that I can leave my cell phone or even my tablet in the car. Now, I know this is like radical, right? So, and again, there's no shame, and everybody goes, well, if you have to have it, because, you know, whatever. But most of us don't need it. We can get by with an hour and a half. And the reason why I've been looking at a lot of research and just thinking and seeing what's happening in America and with kids and everything, and gang, I don't have my phone, but and I try to never have it, at least on Sundays, but is how much we're tethered to that thing. It's unbelievable. And how distracting that thing is. For all of it's good, right, we need to be able to create some zones in our life. And so I just throw that out. That after the first year, be thinking about that. Is that, man, what about, and there's something we know, all research shows us that screen time is detrimental to our development and our rest and our peace. Across the board, right? Every research you find is detrimental. And what we know is the best way to engage something still is, isn't this interesting? Paper. Still. And we also learn more with pen and paper more than typing. It's science. And so I think that there's some of these things that are just showing us. And so I just throw that out. We'll talk more about it after the first year. But just moving into this place, because what I want to introduce for the month of December here, leading up to Christmas, is we're going to hone in on this topic of wholeness. What is wholeness? What does it mean to be whole? I'm not clicking. You might have to help me here. Thank you. And so we're going to drill into this idea of wholeness and this idea of restoring and the connection of peace with wholeness and rest. What does that look like? And so a piece of this is just thinking about, hey, is there a way to exist, and especially in, quote, the sanctuary, where we come to encourage each other, engage each other in worship and in the Word and serve each other and worship our God, is it should be a time where I'm able to set the electronics aside, at least for an hour and a half, right? And to just, right, put myself in the presence of God with just the Word of God and no distractions. So I just throw that out to you. Noodle on that. Give me feedback. If you think it's a terrible idea, let me know. Again, there's no shame in all that, as sometimes we need or an emergency or whatever. But I think we need to take serious, and this goes back into our families, in our culture, we need to take serious what is happening. And I'm going to share a little bit, some more of this with us this morning as we get into this. But this morning, I want to drill into the upper dimension of wholeness. And folks, I throw this out, is what do you think when you think of wholeness? We think of health, don't we? Wholeness. What does that look like? And the connection of peace with that is, man, I'm doing good. I'm feeling whole. And wholeness means that it's integration. It means that my whole life, mind, body, spirit, everything's integrated. And even our the ethos, right, of Aspen, mind, body, spirit, right? There's this idea of a healthy, trying to integrate a healthy whole, right? And we know, right, as we're looking at our culture, where things are going, is unfortunately we're not moving towards wholeness. Or we're moving towards more fragmentation, more and more emotional instability and other things like that. The Wall Street Journal this last week came out with this article. It was by a therapist. And it was amazing. And maybe I talked to Nancy, who saw this as well. But she, this is in the Wall Street Journal. And she's talking about just the problem of wholeness and the problem of just anxiety, specifically as a therapist, depression and anxiety among children. She says the number one question she's getting across the board, and from all ages, all different sectors of society, is why are children struggling so much today with depression and anxiety? And not just children, we know it's everybody, right, in our culture. And this is a secular therapist. And she said, it's time that we start talking about the decline of interest in religion and God. Fascinating. And then what got the article a lot of whatever, you know, attention out there was, she went on to say that children naturally, when they're young, this should be just a huge thought for us as a nation. Children naturally are open and leaning towards the things of God. And she said that, when, you know, part of the dialogue in there was, you know, even if you're an atheist, even if you're agnostic, lie to your children. That was her statement. Is if they start asking your children, ask about God and everything, even if you don't believe in God, if you're an atheist, tell them, yes, God's up there, he'll hear your prayers. Because what these, from a little child, which this should make sense naturally, if they are taught in our school system, watch, look what's happened. Prayer out of school, right? And the idea that you came from some kind of soup, you were an accident of the universe. What do you think that's going to do? We're seeing what it's going to do. And now a secular therapist is able to actually come along and say, yes, right? This is a problem. Wholeness, folks. This is what Jesus came to make us whole. Jesus came because he came into a broken world, and we are broken. We're a broken world and we're a broken people. And he came to put the pieces together to bring this thing, eternal life, and to bring peace to all the pieces. This last year, 2019, and talking to some people, it's been a rough year for a lot of folks. And I've shared with you in the past that I've always been one of those, I'm not stressed, I'm not, I talk to people about that. I help people with that. And I've shared with you that this last year, just some hidden aspects of stress being revealed and God taking on this deep journey of really exposing my lack of resting and prayer and really letting him carry and be my peace in my life. And the number one thing, more than any other, in 20 years of being in Aspen and in other decades of ministry, this last year, more than any other time, have I heard from people who are struggling with sleep, struggling with stress, struggling with peace, wrestling with where's the wholeness, where's the, and feeling fragmented, right, in life. Something's happening to us. And folks, the church, the body of Christ, the folks who claim to follow Jesus, this is one of the huge blessings that is to permeate out of Christian community is wholeness, the hope of wholeness and peace and rest. And this is why Jesus came. And so, you know, much around the Christmas thing, you'll see peace and over again, that word. And it's what Jesus came to do, was to bring peace to our lives. Rest. He says, come to me, all you who labor, who are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Come to me. He's the one who integrates and brings alive our spirit and it makes our mind, right, awaken to the things of how God sees us. And so the next few weeks here, and I want to build this into Christmas Eve, even as I hope in my prayer, pray for me, please, pray for us at that Wheeler, that we can give off a sense of incredible joy and peace and a message for our community of incredible hope. Of there's a peace out there that's available freely, right, by the grace of God, for anybody to lay hold of, to stop the churning and the eating of the bread of anxiety and stress. And this is why Jesus came. Right? And folks, if you've tasted that peace, if you've tasted that sense of his renewal, right, he's come. Every bit of what he did on his death, on the cross, his resurrection for us was to, right, defeat the things that keep chaos in our lives. And folks, that's what peace does. Peace brings order to the chaos. Shalom, right, over our house and our lives. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus, what he does. He comes to bring wholeness. And so the next few weeks, I want us to focus on the three dimensions of wholeness. And the three dimensions are the upward dimension, my relationship with God, the inward dimension of how I see myself as God sees me rather than how, right, living off what the world sees. And the outward dimension, which is my relationship with others, right? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 22. I'm going to show you how these three dimensions are just all over. Matthew 22, starting in verse 34, a little background here. Jesus has been kind of having it out in debate with the religious leaders, Pharisees, Sadducees, and we'll see here is a lawyer, someone who was an expert in the law. And they're all just testing him, questioning him, right, engaging him. And so we pick up in verse 34 and it says this, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, and you know, if you read the Gospels, you see that the wisdom of Jesus, the love of Jesus, right, to engage people and to silence the wisdom of man, where we're left with needing the wisdom of God, right? But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. We call that the great commandment. Is that Jesus right here, he just elevates, and this, you can go back to the Old Testament, this is the Shema of the Jewish folks in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then Leviticus talks about loving our neighbor as ourself. And so here are the three dimensions of wholeness. So what I want us to look at in this is priority. This is priority, and I want to leave us with three questions to break down in some discussion this morning. That I'm gonna label the three most important questions that we can talk about. The first one is, how are you loving God? How am I loving God? Upward dimension of wholeness. Second one is, how am I loving myself? How are you loving yourself? Big question. The third one is, how am I loving others? How are you loving others? And those, as they integrate together, flesh out what it means to be whole and healthy And all of those depend and hang on this first dimension of why. As Jesus said, the most important thing is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. If every bit of who you are, love God. That's priority one. That's the great commandment. And the idea of loving myself is hinged upon that. Is it? I can't love myself unless I see how God's gracious, merciful, forgiving love for me and how he sees me. And in turn, until those two are moving, is that I can't really love others. I can't really genuinely love. My love is going to be somewhat corrupted if I don't love myself. And so I want to drill in this morning. Let's talk about this, especially this first one. And I want you just to leave these three questions because they're hard questions. Let's just say we're sitting down and you ask somebody, hey, tell me, how are you loving God? Whoa, well, got to think about that. It's a big question, isn't it? And next week we'll talk, we're going to drill on the second one about how am I loving myself? Is this a problem today? Loving ourselves? You know, Ephesians 5 says no one naturally hates themselves or everybody naturally takes care of themselves and likes themselves. That's a whole person. For me to question, have low self-esteem, for me to think badly about myself, for me to think bad thoughts about myself rips wholeness. It's complete unhealth. And can, as we know, right, lead us into really tough place, right, in our life. And so let's just, I just want to throw this out and drill in on this first one here this morning. You can step back. Let's hang out on those three, and we'll come to that in a minute. I just want to ask that question, but I want to throw it out just for, Michelle, do you mind if being the microphone for us this morning? Again, let's just talk about this for a minute. Because if Jesus said that is the great commandment, that is the priority one in our lives, love God with your entire being, your mind, right, your heart, your strength, your physique, everything. So it should be, if that's the most important thing, I should be regularly engaging, right, in my life and others' lives. Man, how are you doing with this? How are you doing loving God? But then doesn't that raise a deeper question of, well, how do I do that? How do I love God? And can I love God if I haven't first received his love, right? So how are we loving God? Let's just throw out some things. How do we love God? Because I really think that these, and we can word them however we want to word them, right? But really, this is where we need to engage people. We're in a series on discipleship, right? And this is core, right? And if you track Jesus' time with the disciples, is you see him address all three of those three times in one way or another. It was priority for him that he'd be created lovers of God. And this is why he kept asking, who do you think I am? Right? And that different times through different places where they realized they worshiped him and he received their worship. And then loving themselves. I mean, look what he did with Peter. After Peter fell on his face and denied the Lord, the leader of the team. Look at Jesus' loving restoration. Peter, what did he ask him three times? Do you love me? Peter, do you? In the midst of his failure, in the midst of his struggle, Jesus gently comes to him. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. And feed my sheep. Love my sheep. Love others. Three times, right, to restore, right, his failure, right? So let's drill in. Questions and thoughts on this. Let's just bat this around a little bit, and then I've got a little list, but there isn't an exhaustive list here, but just some key things when you think about, gosh, how am I loving God? How am I loving him? God, and so as I started wrestling with it, I just turned to Virgo. I said, God, am I loving you? Speak to me on this. How am I doing? Because we talk so much, don't we, about receiving God's love. Isn't that interesting? Even our songs, God's love for us, which we need to. But the command is, love God. because of his love for us, what he's done for us, we're to love him. And do others see that in me? The other thought I thought, Lord, do people see me when they talk about me or I'm spend time with them? Do they see me as a lover of God? I mean, more than, I just started thinking about this and chatted with some people just while I was going on this issue a little bit. And man, I think, you know, if you're with people and you only have a little time with them, whatever it may be, what kind of impression do you, what do you want them to say about you? You know, and you wield this down, and when we come to the great commandment, really, I have to say, Lord, I think that's it. I think more than anything, the issue, do they say, man, that guy loves God. Everything he thinks about, everything he does, and he loves God. And what would that be? What would that be? How would they know that about me? All right, I'm talking too much. Talk to me. Let's talk this out. How do you love God? How do you know you're loving God? Silence. When you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So, a desire to hear his voice. Right? Do I desire to hear his voice? Right here, Tim. Yeah, let's try to use the mic because I don't want our online viewers to be.
Okay. By practicing forgiveness.
Beautiful, beautiful. Doing what he did, right? Being like him, wanting to be like him, right? And so, since we've received forgiveness freely, he calls us, yes. That's beautiful, yeah.
Just being in the Word daily.
Being in the Word. Beautiful.
And letting him speak to you.
Yeah.
Through that, letting it wash over you.
Right. So a desire, again, to hear God, but to be obedient to renew our minds, as Romans says, Lord, make me like you. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
Spending time with him and being available to him.
Oh, beautiful. In other words, if I love somebody, I want to be with them, don't I? I want to be in their family, the house of God. I want to be with them, and I want to spend time with them. Absolutely. Beautiful.
By worshiping with your whole heart.
Yeah. Wow. Worship. In other words, a desire to worship.
Counting your blessings and
A thankful
knowing,
heart.
Knowing, yeah.
Yeah, the scripture tells us, right, is that the gates of thanksgiving, the way into his presence is through thanksgiving. Is that, boy, when, and you know, it's like when you're around somebody who's just thankful, it's hard to find today, isn't it? Aren't we easily, we get into what's bad. But when you're with somebody who's genuinely thankful in just whatever their circumstances, Lord, I'm just thankful, Lord, for what you're doing. Wow, that makes an impact, doesn't it? Good. What else?
When you interact with others, be the smile of God.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. Yeah, point them to. It's great.
When you do have those difficult times come up or those stresses, not worrying and putting your faith in him.
Yeah. Yeah, so in other words, come to him based on his promises. By faith, I say, Lord, you know what? You tell me to come with my burden. You will give me peace. So that's our priority. Absolutely.
You mentioned as a child the innate sensibilities of the divine almost come through. And I can remember as a child, first off, the grandiosity of life around me, being caught up in the beauty of the world, the night sky expanse, and wondering, you know, beyond what is human, why all this? And when it became aware to me that there's a creator who loves, beautiful. And that drew me more closely to creation, mm-hmm. to love it and to steward it, and even more so as time went on to be a friend and a servant to my fellow man. Yeah. And as I ride that horse and with the love of God guiding me after coming to faith, it's being consistent in that, to let love shine over beautiful. All the doldrums sometimes that occur subjectively beautiful. In the midst of trying to love.
Yeah.
But if I've got God first, as he was in the very beginning of my faith, then that's why I hope that I'm loving him and awesome. I'm communing with him.
Leah, I just think what I hear from you, and brother, I want to encourage you because I've as long as I've known you, you have exuded childlike faith. And when I hear you speak, what I hear, because Jesus says, right, we can't come to him unless we come as a child. So to love him is to come to him as a child. And a child, as you mentioned, with what you talked about, is with awe and wonder. Staying in the awe and wonder of God is mysterious. Wow, he's amazing. You know, the wow aspect of life. And isn't it, the older we get crotchety, we get critical, we just lose life if we're not careful to watch over our heart. Isn't that right? It's beautiful. Who else?
I think that it's hard to know how much God loves you when you never had love. Oof. The feeling of love when you were growing up. Mm. And I'm old, honey, but I ain't crotchety.
No, you're not, Dusty. That's awesome.
Yeah, Michelle says I'm feisty, but I am.
You are feisty, but that's good. We don't want to lose that.
So with that in mind, I think it's a much more difficult process to realize how much God loves you.
Yes. Oh, so let me just say something on that because it's so important, right? Is how God loves us and receiving that, he primarily uses his children to do that. So if I haven't received love, you're right. It is that we struggle with that. And hence, why it's so important for us, right, to one aspect of loving God is when we're with others is to ask this question and to be that love, right? God loves loves us through other people, right, in relationship, right, and restoration. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I was just going to say, on that childlike faith, when we love somebody, we trust them. Like, we are doing our very best, hoping, looking for trust in them. Good. And a child hasn't already learned the ways of the world yet, the way things work, the way things don't work. So you tell them something, they're like, okay, that's the way it is. Mm. But as adults, you know, you get smarter and wiser and intellectual, and you're like, yeah, the Bible says that, but that's not the way this world works. Or that's not the way this world works today, but like, I would challenge all of you, like, take the Bible at what it says and just try it. Yeah. It works. Yeah. Like, forget what you've learned in the world. Right. Every time I, like, step out in that, I'm just blown away. Like, so, like, yeah, like, let go of that adult intellect and, like, trust him like a kid. And it's just
beautiful.
It's
trust.
Cool. It's cool. Yeah.
So love is trust, right? Which is huge. Huge. That means I'm, I love... You know, the idea of we've battled so long, is it true? Is it true? And what we need to start talking about, is it good? Because if it's true, it's good. And the gospel is good. What Jesus says in his word, what he calls us into, what it does for, it's good. It's good in a person. It makes us whole. It's good in a marriage. It's good in family. It's good for us. It's good. It's the good news. Across the world, it's good.
I think the most important is to know who God is from cover to cover, since he wrote it down in the Bible.
Absolutely.
It helps us to know how to die to self and how to explain him to an unbeliever or somebody who's wavering or
beautiful
in trouble.
Right. To
you
know
can't
him.
Love him unless you know him.
Exactly. Exactly. So knowledge.
I think we choose to love God when we accept his son.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Got to receive that, and it comes through Jesus. We'll get into that in a second. Great.
Well, this also goes with loving others, but sorry, losing my voice.
Yeah.
But just serving in the church
and
serving others. And, you know, I just think about, like, as a parent, we have two kids, and when they're fighting, and it's just so difficult, but when one of them shows kindness to another, or, you know, is actually loving to the other one, it, like, does something to my heart. You know, I think as a parent, when you see your children love each other, it makes me feel loved. It makes, you know, I think it just changes everything around you. And I think serving, especially the church, shows our love for God.
It's beautiful. Right? And Jesus said, right, I haven't come to be served, but I've come to serve. Beautiful. Yeah.
I think carry his spirit, and especially during these holidays, share it and love it.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. We're to be carrier. We're to be vessels of light, salt and light in the world, and especially this time of year. It gives us a great bridge. Beautiful.
We got them going now. We can
yeah,
going.
This is awesome. Right, I don't need to get the, you guys, I don't need to get the rest of the message. You've nailed it.
I think on that thought as well, something that my family was challenging ourselves to do over Thanksgiving was to direct our thankfulness to God. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we have a thankful heart, but almost ambiguously within our culture of I'm thankful for this, as opposed to that, like sort of reminding ourselves, like we are thankful to God for this. And so that's something that we've been trying to work on during the holiday season too. And I think goes with that as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Cause being thankful is a relational context. So I'm thankful to someone for it, right? So that's fantastic. Absolutely.
Also, I think taking the time in the conversation with God to be repentful and have that repentance to be just washed clean and new for God to show you where you've been wrong and how you can do even better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just our openness to our brokenness, right? Being open to that. Yeah, John.
So the order of things, to go back to what Lee said, there's a linear progression in the way I always try to conduct myself, mm-hmm. right? So if you're anxious about what's going on with others, you've got to go back, right? It's a holistic system. Like a heart surgeon isn't just good at working at the heart. They understand the vascular system.
Right.
That's right. And it's, point. Hey, I'm having a problem with this person. Go back to the top one on the list. That's then fantastic. Come back down. I'm having an issue with myself and how I'm dealing with this person.
Yeah.
Back up. And it's that linear progression of your thought. That's where great. There's nothing independent,
yes.
right? It's all symbiont.
It's great.
So
it's back to whole, being wholeness,
being
right?
whole, but thinking
it's a bigger
about
picture.
Whole.
Yeah, it's fantastic, fantastic. Anybody else? Man, that's good stuff.
I'll just share one thing I keep thinking about as a parent, and those of you who are parents in the room, what does your child do that makes you feel loved? Yeah. A little bit like what Logan was saying. You know, when they show appreciation, when they show kindness to one another, when one of my kids comes up and says, hey, Mom, how can I help you? I just melt in a puddle. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you for asking. Or when one of them comes and says, how was your day, Mom? What did you do today? And I'm just, that connection of caring about what I care about.
That's good.
Caring about what your father cares about.
Amen. No, that's good. Thank you all for sharing. Will you just go to the next slide here? And y'all nailed all of these. And again, this is not an exhaustive list here, but how do we love God? And we have to step back and ask the question, right? First of all, as Scripture Hebrews 11 says, do I believe he exists? Do I worship him, right? Hebrews 11:6 says, you know, that faith is impossible, right? It's impossible without faith, right? We must believe God, right? And that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And then next is we recognize that our lack of wholeness. We recognize our brokenness and there has to be a sense of my great need for God. And so showing him love is obviously recognizing him, which is worshiping him, honoring him, ascribing worth to him. But boy, I've also have to just stay in that place of my need for God, right? That shows our great love for him. And boy, don't we? We live in a world that's just so independent, right? And that would be a question that I've looked at in my life is what in my life shows my dependence on God? Right? What do I do in my life? And what do I show others that my radical dependence on God? Is prayer the first thing I go to when I need something? Or do I bounce out to quote the experts, right? Next thing is receive Jesus' grace, love and peace to bring wholeness to our chaos. Right? There is a receiving to follow Jesus. Yes, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. I want that good news. I want that eternal life. I want that forgiveness. I want that grace. I want life with you. I want wholeness. I want the peace you promise to come and bring order to the disorder of my life. Right? and then to be a vessel of peace and shalom. And if you look at the scriptures, right, Jesus sent the disciples out to be vessels of peace, to put their shalom, even when they entered a house, they were to bring, this is powerful, isn't it? Jesus commanded them to bring peace upon that house. Let your shalom rest upon that house. In other words, there is a, back to carrying the presence, there is a sense of carrying shalom with us. And when we engage people and come in contact with just stress or tough situations, we're to be people of shalom, to bring in hope and peace into situations. Learn to walk in obedience to God's word, right? Many people said that. Jesus said real clearly, if you don't obey me, you can't love me. And this is back to even what Michelle says. If continue to disobey, that shows a lack of love, right? Ultimately, in a selfishness. Love ourselves and others. We're going to get to that one, drill in next week. Loving ourselves. And I think we haven't done justice to the great commandment here, the commandment, right, is before you love others, love yourself. Do the work. Do the internal wholeness work. In other words, how are you going to be healthy and whole yourself so you can genuinely love others? Right? Do you love yourself? And sometimes we're even like, can I even say that about myself, you know? And Jesus, it's a commandment to love yourself. And if God sees you as prey, if he sent his son to die for you, to love you, to sacrifice, to serve you, to offer an eternity for you, is, boy, you're a vessel of blessing. You're a cherished, precious blessing of God. You should cherish yourself, right? That's wholeness. Not in a prideful way, but we love ourselves because how God has created. We're his vessel. He's redeemed us. We're his child, right? Have faith friends in our lives to disciple us. So, what we're going to drill a little bit in this week, tying to this kind of discipleship thing, but also just being a community of people to encourage and bless each other, is you've maybe heard it before that we all should have a Paul in our lives. We all should have a Timothy and a Barnabas in our lives. And so what I mean by Paul is Paul was the disciple maker, right? We all need that person. Ladies, you need a godly woman who's further down the line than you to get along with you the word of God and to teach you to how to be a lover of God. Men, we need a man in our lives who's further down the road in following Jesus to be with us and to just get down to the nitty-gritty, right, where it's just life on life in a small 2-3, just a small discipleship group where it's all real there. This is life, and we trust each other, and we're pushing each other towards God and the best that God has for us. We need that. We need that Paul in our lives, right? And because we need someone to stimulate, right, this upward, right, aspect of wholeness. Someone who knows God more than me. Someone who knows, has greater knowledge of God than me. Someone who loves him and has greater affections for God than me, right, to lead me in, continue to lead me in this upward moment so that I can in turn do it with others. That's the great commission that builds upon the great commandment that we just read, right? And then the Barnabas is we all need, we need peers. We need others in our lives. Just the Barnabas was, that word actually means encourager. We need faith friends in our lives, peers that we can lock arms with who are our friends and who we journey with and who push us on, right? We have a kindred spirit, right? In following God. And finally, in Timothy, we need that person in our lives that we now are being the Paul to, that we are coming along. We're further down the line and we see them, we come alongside them, and to love anyone is to lead them to the love of God. Let me show you who God is. Let me open the scripture. Let me show you how to read the Bible. And folks, let me just say to you that every church should, a healthy church should have people all across the spectrum of people who are just kind of the skeptic or the seeker, the ones just checking out God and Christianity, and in that camp are the people who we call D church. They had a bad church experience, right? They're trying to recover from, right? You know, is we need to have a place of grace where we come alongside them. Hey, come on, let's just talk about it. Tell me about your story. Let me tell you what happened, and then lead them to the truth of God's word, what it says about church and God, right? And all across the spectrum here is we need to have an environment, right, that we encourage, we step into each other's lives and with the goal of pushing each other on to these three top most important questions in life. Let me help you love God better. Let me help you love yourself better. Let me help you love others better. That's wholeness. And out of that comes the abundant life that Jesus, right, promises. And finally, as was already mentioned here, is love and serve his body. Church is the body of Christ. It's his precious bride that he is returning for, that he has died for, that he loves and he promises. He's in our presence right now. And we're to serve each other. And the scripture says that he's poured out, and you know, if you were here with Brent, you know, he went through many of those gifts, and you modeled some of those gifts a little bit, right? He has wonderful gifts for us to explore and use in our own unique way to build each other up, right? And not just here, out there as well, right? And so we're to serve each other, right? Because Jesus came not to be served, it tells us, but to serve, right? And that should be modeled to us. And so, you know, God says if we can't love each other, we can't love him. If we're not loving each other well, we're not loving God. And that's those two are intimately connected, is a real indicator of how the church is loving each other, is an indication of how we're really loving and worshiping God. Right? You know, you can have all the bells and whistles, the best worship team, the most vibrant, jumping up and down, you know, just an intense worship time, and there can be no love of God in there because it can be highly individualized. Just about my experience here, but no concern for loving each other. The most important thing God's looking for is how we love each other. How that is expressed. And if that happens, the worship will explode, right, into an authentic, right, celebration, right, of what is happening among God's people. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this is what we're going to dive in. Pray into this. I pray you'll take those three questions. We're going to dive into this again next week and really drill into the second dimension of wholeness, which is loving ourselves. There's a lot we can talk about there, right, what that looks like. But I just encourage you this season, pray that God would give you, and it could just, let's start in our own homes with a little discussion around the Christmas tree, right? About, hey, gang, how are we doing as a family loving God? And individually, maybe you get time alone with your spouse or your children, and how are you doing loving yourself? I tell you, how important is that for our children, right? To know and to have a right perspective. And that can't come outside of until they see. And boy, back to Dusty's thing, how important is it for a parent to model, right, the love over our child, right, because of the Father's love, right, for us. So what I want to do, Derek, y'all come on up. Just in closing, folks, I want us to, you know, churches to be a house of prayer, and especially this season, we're talking about wholeness. And so I just want to lead us in a corporate time of prayer before we come. And during this time, you know, just receive or participate. We've already, you know, had some prayer time, but I want us to drill in and get a little proactive in our prayer this morning. I'm just going to lead us, and I'm going to throw out some things, and if you feel led, just stand up and pray for that topic. But I want us to pray that God would move. I want to specifically focus on our community, our church community first, but then our community here. In those three questions, Lord, may you open a door of faith. May you open a door, right, for people to become whole, generally whole, right? For us to step in with these three questions, right? And the good news of Christ, what he offers, right? So if you'll join me with prayer, and like I said, this is just the body praying, and it pleases the Lord to listen to the prayers of his people, right? And to raise up a love for this community. We live in an amazing place, but folks, I don't have to tell you, this is a hard place, right? Is again, we have the highest per capita, one of the highest, right? Suicide, depression, anxiety, just go down the list. If you're involved with youth in this, they can have all the bells and whistles. We know that physical support it doesn't hack it on these issues. There's a soul poverty. Though we live among the top 1%ers in the world, there's a soul poverty. And we need to pray, Lord, may you let that shine. May you let it shine, right? Father, we come to you, Lord, as your children. Father, help us. Holy Spirit, help us be better lovers of you, God. And Lord, I pray that these three questions that are priority to you, Jesus, that you would help us personalize them, process them, and learn to minister to each other with these questions about loving you, about loving ourselves, and about loving others, God, and about wholeness, God. You desire wholeness in our lives. Jesus, that's why you came, to put us in intimate fellowship with you and to make us whole. So right now, just everybody just take a silent moment. Just hear from the Lord. Receive his love, his vast, Scripture calls it lavish love over you. Over you. I feel like as many of us in this moment are flooded with doubts about God's love for us. And maybe it's just being beat up by the enemy of things we've done, haven't done, regrets. But I pray this moment, as well as this season, that right now, everyone in here, that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt, right, that God loves you more than you would ever, ever imagine. He loves you. And he's got great things forever for you, right? Let's take a moment and just pray for our church family. Just for wholeness and blessing. And just if a couple of you want to just stand and whatever comes to your mind, let's pray for our church community, our church family here, just as the Lord leads.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.